If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm Bishop Eric Lambert of the Bethel Deliverance International Church. I want to invite you to our Holy Convocation 2015. This year, our theme is Power to Be Effective Witnesses. And so as our fellowship gathers, we're going to look at the Word of God and teach the people how to become more effective in their witnessing for Christ. How do we reach the lost so Christ can be glorified? This year, our special guest preachers will be Bishop David Evans of Bethany Baptist Church of Lindenwald, New Jersey. Our dear friend Bishop Evans comes to bring us a relevant word of God, and we're looking forward to the time we spend with him.
If I believe day and night, if I believe hot and cold, if I believe summer and winter, why do I struggle in my faith with seed time and harvest?
On Thursday night, Pastor Arlington Medley will be with us. And this man of God brings a word that both encourages us and causes us to seek God more.
God has come in my life in a certain way that now everything is different.
And on Friday night, yours truly, Bishop Eric Lambert, will be bringing the word of God. And I'll be focusing on how to be an effective witness in these last days.
You got to learn how to rebuke simple things so that when big stuff comes, your faith is already taken care of.
During the week, we're going to have seminars and sessions during the daytime so that you, the people of God, can come together, hear the word of God, and receive food to grow up. This is an exciting time, and we want you to share in our holy convocation. Now, those dates are August the 12th through the 14th. And this year, by the grace of God, we'll be meeting at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Pastors, congregations, friends of this ministry, those who watch our broadcast, we invite you to come and share with us. I'll be seeing you at Holy Convocation 2015.
Joseph had a little bit of arrogance about him when God gave him the vision. Yes, he did. His father had made him a coat of many colors. He had it tailor-made down at Boyd's. And, you know, it probably looked like the Superfly coat that Ron O'Neill wore in the movie. All the way down to his ankles, different color fur on it, you know, with the big hat. So Joseph went to his brothers with his coat of many colors and said, y'all, listen, look at me. Now, at first, they took it. They were like, oh, okay, go on home. You the baby. Go on home. You take Benjamin, who is the real, real baby, take it, and y'all go somewhere else. And he said, no. I saw something. They said, what'd you see? I saw y'all bowing to me. So you had better prepare now. Kneel. Now, I don't know how many times he said it. The scriptures just don't tell us. But at some point, they became weary with that arrogance. And they said, let's kill it. Now, you know, you got to be pretty bad for your brothers to kill you. After a while, you know, they decided, no, we're not going to do it. While he was in that pit, I can guarantee you he had no arrogance in that pit. He was in that pit crying out to God, Lord, you gave me a vision. Lord, please take me out. Now, here's what he said. Take me out the pit, Lord. Lord, take me out the pit. So the Lord had the brothers come back and take him out the pit. But he neglected to say where he wanted to go after the pit. So they sold him to the Midianites, and they took him into slavery, took him down to the slave market. Now, this is the man that all of his brothers are going to kneel to him. He's down at the slave market now. They changed his name from Joseph to Kunta Kinte. When they threw him in the pit, he was Kunta Kinte. When they took him down to the slave place, he was now Toby. And so while he's there, God whispers into Potiphar's ear. He says, go buy him. Buy that one right there. Potiphar comes over and he looks at Joseph. Joseph is probably thin and frail. And so Potiphar says, give me him. He just looks weird. Give me him. And so he takes him in the house. Now, he had to have been attractive because Potiphar's wife hit on him. I think she was looking at him when he first came and thought, you know, this tells me that this woman must have done this before. And the other men probably gave in to her for fear that she would rat him out. But Joseph had something that he developed in the pit. He developed something in the pit. That experience, and then being sold into slavery, that experience developed something in him. So when he was there in the house, Potiphar was so impressed by him. Potiphar says, you run my complete house. Here's my American Express card. Anything you need to do, you do it. You just run it. I trust you. And so one day while he's working on the books and he gets up and he goes walking probably to get him something to eat, she comes, baby, come lie with me. And Joseph looks at her. Now, I love his remark. Joseph says, I can't do this to my master and to God. He didn't just say, oh, I can't sin against God. He said, I can't do it to my master. Character is developed. But Joseph's character got him in trouble. And he wound up in prison. But his gift did not turn off. It was just matured. And you know the story. He winds up going to the palace. You see, God has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for all of us that are Christians. The enemy's job is to keep you from seeing that plan. How does he do it? Not spiritually, naturally. He throws all the other things in front of you. You can't see what God is doing because you're looking at what people are doing, what people are saying, and God isn't paying any one of them any mind. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us from all of them. God has a plan. God has such a plan that all he needs you to do is trust him to unfold it. If you know that God's plan towards you is good and peaceful, then whatever the enemy brings should never frustrate you to the point where you are just completely discouraged. God has a plan. In Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul confronts something along the same line. It's an interesting conversation in Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 14. When we reach the 14th verse, or the 13th verse, Paul says something that I find to be highly inspirational. He says, I count not myself to have arrived. Brothers and sisters, none of us have arrived. No matter how much God graces us to learn or empowers us to do in ministry, none of us have arrived. We are all works in progress. We are all individuals that are seeking the benevolent hand and will of God. None of us have arrived. He says, but this is one thing I am doing. I'm forgetting everything that happened to me in the past. Now, this is going to be difficult because you're to also forget the past praises. Because if you live on past praises, you will never move forward to future glory. See, some of us hold on to what we received 20 years ago, but you haven't done anything of substance since then. Paul said, I'm forgetting what's behind. Yes, it's implied that we forget the negative. I trust all of you will forget the negative. Every negative thing that happened to you, forget about it. You can't change it. You can't undo it. So why let it torment your life? Why waste emotional energy on something you cannot control? If that door falls off of its hinges back there, there are only a few of us in here that can probably rehang it. The rest of you will walk right out and not even pay it any mind because you can't hang a door. No matter how many clinics you take at Home Depot or Lowe's, that doesn't qualify you to hang the door. I had 4 years of apprenticeship. People go to a 15-minute seminar and they're ready to hang doors and solder pipes. But there's some things we just cannot do. So you don't sweat it. What do? You call in the right people to handle what you cannot handle. There are things that God puts in our lives that we cannot handle alone. And so we want another. We grab hold of somebody to help us through this evolution. So Paul says, I've learned to forget everything. People talked about me. I don't hold it against them. People lied on me. I don't hold it against them. Some folks can't understand how you can be dismissive of idiocy. My mama used to say that there's a handwriting. I hated that. She would say that whenever I did something wrong or when I snuck out to do something that I shouldn't have done. She would say, boy, there's a handwriting. I just bought a huge eraser at a religious store. And on the front of the eraser, it says, Jesus erases all of our mistakes. I held it up to him. I said, Lord, all those things my mama said you were writing, would you please erase this? So when I get to heaven, I don't have to look at the times I did some things in school and on the street. I mean, I can't give A&P their money back for what I stole. There are no more A&Ps. So they just have to eat that one. And I know God has a handwriting, and I don't know. I guess it's under the blood, but I don't know how he's going to make me make restitution for all of that. And I stole a lot of candy. And so I don't know how God's going to deal with that. But Paul says, forget it. Don't worry about it. It's under the blood. God will take care of that. But here's what he said. He says, there is one nagging reality in my life. He said, there is something that occupies my entire Christian experience. He said, I press. I press, he says. It's interesting because this verb in the Greek means I follow after. But it carries the idea that nothing gets in my way. I'm following Jesus with such a tenacity, such determination, that nothing or no one interrupts that walk. I press. I follow him. So much so that everything else becomes dull. No athlete wins the game or the match by sitting home watching television and going to play. They do so by practice. They do so by pushing themselves. It's interesting that the Greeks would use this verb to follow after whenever they addressed hunters. And the hunter would say, I'm pressing after that game. It means that I'm not going to stop till I get him. I wounded him, but I'm pressing after him. What am I? I'm looking for marks, blood stains, broken leaves, branches. I'm trying to establish and hunt him down based on his trail. And that's what Paul is saying. He's using that same verb. I'm hunting Jesus. I'm coming after him with such tenacity that I am focused on reaching him. I'm looking for drops of blood. I'm following the blood-stained footprints. I'm following places where he's been. See, when I was a child in Pentecost, we would go to hot services. We would always find out on Friday night when the services were hot. Every time there were great men of God that would come to the church, we would go. We were always hunting. And then if someone said, so-and-so's coming to town, he's going to be over at such and such church, we would go over there to go be under that word. We were hunting something from God.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
07115A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.